And U.S. Senator Mike Crapo from the nation's capital. Senator, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you again.
Well, it's always good to hear your voice. How fun and exciting was that to have the King of England at Congress yesterday, Senator?
Well, a lot of pomp and ceremony, and I think that he was well received. There was some question about whether we should pay too much deference to royalty in this country, but I think it was just fine to have him here, and I appreciated the fact that he said many things about how we are friendly nations and we want to work together. So it was good.
Also, I wanted to ask, and I would imagine there were many a conversation among Republicans watching the Democrats who have had these incessant No Kings protests for the last year stand up and give extended applause to a king.
Well, it was fun. We did talk about that in the cloakroom a little bit. Yeah. The reality is there's only one king they don't like, and they don't like him not because he's a king, but because he's a conservative.
Yeah, right. Yeah, good point.
Senator, you recently, I believe it was probably Thursday of last week, you had RFK Jr. in. You oversaw, he had 2 days of hearings. You oversaw one of those days. Would you give us a briefing on that? How did that hearing go? And maybe briefly talk about what RFK Jr. has done while serving in the Trump administration.
Well, first of all, let me answer the last part of that. I think that he has been an outstanding leader at HHS. He has literally changed the focus of America's healthcare system in the sense that he's focused us on healthy living and healthy lifestyles, and he's gotten rid of some of the rigid pieces of our administrative work on healthcare by facilitating the kind of collaborative work that we really need to have happening. The hearing was like you might have expected. The Democrats really don't like him, and they went after him tooth and nail on every single issue, it would seem like. But I thought he defended himself well. They did, as they always do, a lot of personal attacks on him. And I think in the end, it became very clear that he has a very good handle on how we should be administering our healthcare system in the United States.
There was a moment when he sparred with Senator Warren over negotiating lower prices for treatments or drugs or something, and he shot back at her. He said, "You could have negotiated the same thing. So why are you holding me accountable to that?" And I thought that was an interesting moment in that hearing.
It was a very interesting moment because, as a matter of fact, like I said, the Democrats just went after him consistently on many things. I'll give Senator Warren credit. She went after him on policy rather than a personal attack. But the bottom line is he was able to stand up to her and say, yeah, you know, you didn't ever negotiate the drug prices down. I have negotiated the drug prices down. And I thought it was, high time for that kind of pushback to happen.
Senator, let's shift to probably, obviously, the biggest story from over the weekend. It's the third now assassination attempt against the president of the United States in the last couple of years. And it's very concerning. And I think there's an angle here that you could talk about the rhetoric, especially from the left in America, and also talk about how important it is for the president to have good security. And if you felt like it was adequate at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Well, first of all, on the rhetoric, it is true. The rhetoric from the left, violent rhetoric, has just been growing and growing and growing. And it's part of their hatred toward President Trump. But it was growing long before that. The notion of lack of civility started out being lack of civility, but it got into really what I consider to be incentivizing violence, speech across many different aspects of our society. And I think, frankly, people in America are less civil these days. And when it comes to the president, the talk about him is increasingly dangerous. And I believe that is part of the reason. President Trump said he thought that was part of the reason that we're seeing these increased assassination attempts. I did think that the security at this dinner was much stronger than it has been in the past in other major events, which is partly because the Secret Service and others have been really doubling down after these assassination attempts have started happening. But I personally think we can do even more. And, you know, the debate has centered around the president's building or upgrading and strengthening and expanding the ballroom at the White House so that we can have major events and have a safe place for those events to happen on the White House grounds itself. And I personally really support him doing that.
All right, let's talk about that security a little bit more, because if I understand correctly, part of the security detail that was there on that Saturday night at that correspondents' dinner, they haven't been funded. They're part of this holdout by the Democrats. Let's dovetail into that. How are you seeing these negotiations work, and are we going to get the remaining portion of the government funded, or are we headed for another shutdown?
I think that right now that's a question that's up in the air. The Democrats have consistently now, I can't remember how many weeks it is, but weeks and weeks and weeks, multiple votes on the Senate floor and now in the House, the same battle is going on, have stopped funding for the Department of Homeland Security. And I think people in America are understanding that this goes far beyond just the immigration issue. But it goes to our Coast Guard. It goes to the security you just talked about. It goes to law enforcement. And we've mentioned before in our conversations, I've mentioned before that the Democratic Party as a whole has fought to defund law enforcement in general for years. You remember, defund the police. And this is just a piece of that. And it's still going. We're going to be voting this week to try to get this all funded. The Senate has gotten those bills to the House, and the House has kind of been pushed into disarray because they have such close margins. But one way or the other, we've got to get this funded. The president has indicated that he's been using emergency orders and extreme measures to try to keep the law enforcement funded throughout our Homeland Security system, and that he can't keep doing that unless Congress finally passes the authority for this funding to be utilized.
Senator, does it reach a point, because you are exactly right, these are agencies just for our basic national security, they need to be funded. Does it reach a point where you have to seriously consider getting rid of the filibuster to make that happen, just sheerly for the security and protection of our country?
Well, fortunately, we have been able, the funding that the president is now using is funding that we passed by getting rid of the filibuster through a reconciliation bill. The funding piece of this is something that we can approach without formally getting rid of the filibuster. We can do it through reconciliation. And in fact, the Senate did it, sending the House a reconciliation bill that was focused specifically on ICE and the Border Patrol, which the House hasn't yet been able to pass, just because they've got a few holdouts on their side that want even other and more changes. But we don't need to get rid of the filibuster to do the funding, but we do have to do it through a reconciliation bill. We've done that, and now the House just needs to act.
Okay, so ball's in the House's court now. Senator, I do want to ask you this, talking about the tight margins that we have in the House and the Senate, how are the midterms shaping up? What's the chatter that you hear as we approach this midterm election?
Well, it's confusing, actually. I see reports on this every day, and the reports swing wildly. Some of them say the polling shows that the Republicans across the country are in really bad shape, and others show that that's not necessarily the case, and that the people still realize the Democratic policies were that they don't like, that is what caused them to vote for President Trump in the last election and to vote for a Republican Congress. So I wish I knew the answer to that question, Neil. I really do. But the polling is all over the place, and the reports are all over the place, and I just don't know what the real truth is.
Well, and I mean, we've got some redistricting concerns at play, too, in Virginia. I think Texas is another one. Do you have any crystal ball insight on how those might play out by November?
Well, I'm just going to make a, first of all, I don't know the answer. Obviously, Virginia has taken a step to try to get five new Democrat seats in the House. That's going to be facing one more challenge, and we don't know whether that challenge in the courts will be successful or not. In response to that, you saw that the Florida governor has suggested getting four or five new seats in Florida by rechanging the lines, and in Texas and in other places they're looking at it. I don't know where all the numbers will shake out here, because I don't know which ones will ultimately be successful, but it looks like there is literally a battle between Republican and Democrat states right now to see how they can influence the lines for their districts to maximize whether it's be Republican or Democrat. And right now it looks like there's about a number on each side that are being pushed.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, Senator, we appreciate it. So much happening. There are other issues we could ask you about, but we are out of time. And we appreciate your time, and we look forward to talking with you in another week or so.
I look forward to it. Thanks. Good to visit with you.
All right.